The views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers of Radio Free ARFCOM do not necessarily reflect those of AR15.com, BBS Radio, or their advertisers. When any techniques, skills, or theories are presented, they reflect the practices and opinions of the individual presenting them, but not necessarily those of Radio Free ARFCOM, AR15.com, or BBS Radio. In all circumstances, Radio Free ARFCOM, AR15.com, and BBS Radio expressly disclaim any liability that may result in the use or misuse of any information featured in this program.
Transmission begin.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Here we go.
Let's go.
All this stuff you've heard about America not wanting to fight, wanting to stay out of the war, is a lot of horse dung. Americans traditionally love to fight. All real Americans love the sting of battle.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty, or give me death.
Radio Free ARFCOM starts now.
Welcome, all my fellow ARFCOM brothers and sisters, to another great show. We have a special Wednesday edition of Radio Free ARFCOM for you this week. Today's subject is going to be all about the three Navy SEALs that were charged. Two have been acquitted. The remaining Navy SEAL, Petty Officer McCabe, is the one left. The one SEAL left facing charges. Now, originally we were supposed to have his attorney on, Mr. Neil Puckett. He has caught a virus over the last couple of days. He won't be on today's show. He will, however, be on next Monday's show, and we'll take his interview then on Monday. But we'll go through with the rest of our show as planned. It will be a slightly truncated version of Radio Free ARFCOM, but that's fine. It's a special edition on Wednesday. We'll be back to our normal time on Monday, next Monday, Monday evening, 6:55 p.m. Eastern. And Neil Puckett, attorney for Petty Officer McCabe, will be on that show. We're going to have Joe with us. Joe DeBurgles will be on the entire show with us today. Joe, are you there?
I am, John. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. It's good to have you on. If we can just kind of go over a little bit about the charges facing Petty Officer McCabe, and then we will get into our first guest, who will be Chris Carter from the Victory Institute today. His website is victoryinstitute.org. If you guys, all the listeners, want to check that out. I know if you're already listening, you've found out that we are now broadcasting this week's show on Station 1 of BBS Radio instead of Station 2. We're usually on Station 2, so we'll probably, there'll be a little confusion for the listeners at first at the beginning until they get it figured out that we're over on Station 1. Anyway, Joe, do you want to go ahead and give kind of an overview? Now, as far as I understand it, Petty Officer McCabe is the one that's accused of actually striking the target in question. They were on a mission. I'm sure all of you know the story by now, but I'll just recap it for those who don't. These SEALs were on a mission to capture one of the high-value targets. This was the guy who was the mastermind behind the terrible tragedy that happened in Fallujah with our American civilian contractors over there working. They were captured, as you all know. We all saw the images on TV of their bodies being desecrated, being burned, hung from the bridge in Fallujah. It was a nightmare scenario. Later on during the war, we got intelligence of where this guy was, who was the mastermind behind that ambush, and we sent in a SEAL team, some of our best and brightest, the true warriors we have. They went out, they did their job, they captured this target, they brought him back, and when he came back, he didn't immediately, if I have the information correctly, he didn't immediately press charges or say that there was any type of abuse. And a short time later, he came out and said he was abused by these three SEALs that captured him. Now, do I have the information correct, Joe?
That's correct.
Now, it is actually what? Petty Officer McCabe, the last SEAL to go to a court-martial for this. He's the one that's actually accused of striking the guy. Is that correct?
That's correct. He's charged with, among other things, dereliction of performance of duty for failing to safeguard a detainee, making a false statement,
And now the other two SEALs, they've both been acquitted, correct?
They have. They were before they went to court over in Iraq, of all places, and they were found clear of all wrongdoing, and were cleared of any type of further proceedings.
Which is good news. Now, I wish we would have had Mr. Puckett on with us to tell us how that is actually going to affect the case. But like I said, he will be on Monday, and we'll talk about that with him then, about how these guys being acquitted is going to help Petty Officer McCabe in his case. So why don't we just go straight in with Chris Carter. He's the director of the Victory Institute. If you haven't checked out his website, it is www.victoryinstitute.net. We have Chris online. Is that correct, Chris? Are you with us?
Here I am.
Hey, thank you for being part of the show today. We're a little helter-skelter today. We're on a different day, and we're on a different station than we normally are. But we're still going to go through with this, and I'm really glad you took some time out to be with us. We bumped the show and had to reschedule, and make sure we had everybody's schedules okay, and I'm glad you had some time to be with us. Before we go any further, why don't you give everybody a little bit about your background, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Victory Institute.
Outstanding. The Victory Institute, it's a veteran service organization, an action institution. And really what that is, kind of in a nutshell, you know, you have think tanks, Heritage Foundation's one of them. You've got veteran service organizations like the American Legion, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, things like that. What we are is we're kind of a cross between the two. What we've found is that the veterans and actively serving people and members of our first responder community, of which I'm also a first responder, I'm also a veteran. But what we found is these folks that are at the tip of the spear, so to speak, you know, they're the ones that are living and dying with the orders that are handed down and with the strategies that they have to enforce and so on and so forth. But the problem is they're restricted as to what they can and can't say. Now, granted, I mean, you've got operational security guidelines, things like that. You can't talk about ongoing operations. You can't question the orders of your officers. That's understandable, and that's fine. But you've got these people, you've got all these different things that are coming down, coming out from these think tanks, coming out from, you know, the political leaders of this country and so forth. And our members of the military and our veterans either can't say anything or they don't have an organization that can give them that voice. You know, things like rules of engagement, philosophies, strategies like counterinsurgency, don't ask, don't tell. Just any number of the things that are going on that these men and women live and die with on a daily basis, you know, that's not right at all for them not to be able to sound off. And they can say things, they can express their opinions, but you've got to do so in a legal and an appropriate manner. So that's what we are. We're becoming that voice that the military can't have. Now, we're starting up we've launched this initiative here over the past week or so. We've got a forum that's just starting up. We've got a Facebook page, as you mentioned, victoryinstitute.net. is our website. So we've just got a whole lot of stuff going on over there. We're launching several initiatives to where we can get it to where these guys can go overseas when they need to be. They can do what they need to do. They can win, and they can come home. And kind of with the way things stand, we're really kind of at a standstill in Afghanistan. Iraq is kind of going south again. Well, it's because, I mean, you know, the men and women on the front lines, they know what to do. They know what the problems are, but they can't get the change that they want. You know, the think tanks and the billions of dollars of influence and the politicians are all having their say, and these guys are going over with failed strategies and rules of engagement that basically says don't shoot under any circumstances. It's unacceptable. So that's kind of what the Victory Institute does, and one of the one of our main initiatives is to defeat drumhead trials like the SEAL 3 here. We followed this since December when this became public. I think about December 4 is when the military released their charge sheets. And when it comes to these trials, you know, I'm not going to go to bat. If somebody went over there and did an atrocity and they're, you know, it's kind of an open and shut case, let the justice system work. You know, troops, while they're great people, while they sacrifice, while they're, you know, more people, you know, people with more honor, I know of none than the United States military. But, I mean, they're still people and they're subject to the rule of law. And if they do untoward things, that's one thing. But having read the charge sheets, having seen the evidence or lack thereof, because up until the trials began, the military gave no corroborating evidence, and you had a, you know, the testimony, which we'll get to later, I'm sure, of the one witness besides the Al-Qaeda detainee, had changed five times, and he's admitted to lying about stuff. Now, not to attack this guy, but that's no basis to base, you know, that's no standing to base a trial on when you've got three of our most elite warriors in the world that are taken off the battlefield based on the word of a master at arms third class whose story keeps changing, and based on the word of an Al-Qaeda terrorist who's trained by their very documents to do exactly what he did. It's unacceptable. So when you've got a drumhead trial like what's going on, we're going to come to bat for it, and we're going to throw everything we've got, you know, into it. And while we call ourselves an action institution, real quick, is a think tank. You know, you can go to a think tank, and they're going to talk about policy research and analysis and stuff. But, I mean, really when it all comes down to it, John, all you're doing is you're entertaining people. You're giving them information, yes. But unless you've got an actionable course to take, or really it's, you know, people say, well, where's the leadership? We're looking for leadership. That's what we do. We say, okay, like you can go to Victory Institute right now. We've got action alerts. We've got fact sheets. With matter of fact, I'm looking at mine right now for my show. And you can go and you can look and see what's going on. You can get the facts because our thing is we do lots and lots of research, John, because 99% truth is still a lie. And we make sure that our stuff is squared away and it's all in one sock. And we give the we present the information to people in an honest and objectionable manner. And then we give them an action. You got everything we put out has got to take action. And we can talk about the action that people can take here in just a little bit, I'm sure. But that's what the Victory Institute is in a nutshell.
Yeah, and I've been to your website actually looking at it now, and I love the take action stuff. We'll talk about this House Resolution 977 here in just a minute. Let's talk a little bit about your personal background, some of your service and how you got the idea to start the Victory Institute. You talked a little bit about what the Victory Institute does, but let's talk a little bit about your background and how you came to want to start it.
Well, I was a firefighter in the United States Air Force, active duty back in the during the Clinton administration. And I got out, and now I'm a professional firefighter for a fairly large city here in Missouri. And, you know, 9/11 happened, and I think, If 9/11 didn't light your fire, then the pilot lights out. You know what I'm saying? 9/11 should have been a wake-up call for every red-blooded American out there. And I realized all of a sudden, you know, because I've been apolitical. I was chasing girls. I was playing football, running around, having a good time, you know, fighting fire. And then I realized, wait a minute, something is dead wrong here. And I started learning about our enemy, because if you don't understand your enemy, you can't defeat them, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, I learned about the bin Ladens, the Zawahiris, Al-Qaeda in Iraq, Al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia. I mean, just, you know, you name it, all the different alphabet soup terrorist groups out there. And I realized, wait a minute, you know, they're quoting the Quran. And I go, you know, being a critical thinker, and that's what we try to do at the Victory Institute, is not create a, you know, host of followers, but create a nation of critical thinkers. I realized, wait a minute, you know, all the stuff they're talking about is in the Quran. So then I started seeing what's going on for what it was, and not the misrepresentation we've had under basically every presidential administration that's been faced with the threat of jihad. But that's when I decided, you know what, Chris, I mean, you swore an oath years ago to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all foreign enemies, foreign and domestic. Many of us have taken that oath. You know what, folks, let me speak to all the veterans out there. We signed no piece of paper. There was nothing at all that undid that oath that we swore to this country. And I realized, you know what, you know, granted, firefighting, it's an honorable profession, it's a good job, and it's pretty high-speed stuff, you know, I mean, you can do some cool things there, but it wasn't enough. You know, I joined with all this patriotic, you know, all the stuff that, you know, that they say, you know, the patriotism and the liberty and the Constitution. I feel hook, line, and sinker for all that stuff. I mean, I really, thinking about my country, my flag, it still gives me chills to this day. And I realized that, you know, not everybody can go over, because I can't go overseas anymore, fight, jump out airplanes, any of that stuff. There's plenty of wonderful, honorable Americans that can do that now. Where I'm needed in this fight is on the information front. You know, and that's what we are now. If you can't go overseas and fight, then you've got to be an information warrior. We have to, the leadership of this country, John, both political and unfortunately military, has failed this country miserably by not identifying our enemies. And I understand that some people are going to say, oh, don't bring up World War II, it's totally different. Yes and no, but mostly no, it's not. It's a lot war is basically the same thing ever since Moses was a corporal on the day. You know, and what you have to do, the first thing you have to do if you're going to fight a war is you're going to have to define your enemies. And, John, we have not done that. You know, other than people who are inside the business, how many people understand what the Tariqi Taliban of Pakistan's goals and intentions are? How many people understand what, you know, Taliban in Afghanistan's goals and intentions are? Do they want a global caliphate, or they just want to be left alone and do their own thing in Afghanistan? You know, nobody knows. What about Al-Qaeda in Iraq? You know, what do they want? What about the Hezbollah? What about Jamal al-Fukr, who, by the way, has got dozens of terrorist training camps in the United States, and nobody's doing anything about it? You've got to learn what's going on, and people need to, you know, people don't have time to sit around and research and analyze and figure out who all the players are. So that's what the Victory Institute is there for, is to inform people as to the nature of the threat. And we're trying to, you know, we have initiatives to get the leadership to define the enemy and to actually declare. I mean, you know, can you imagine, John, for a second, us trying to fight the Germans and the Japanese with the philosophy we have today, where you say, oh, you know, there's moderate Germans and we can pay off the Japanese Navy, and you know, we've got the Japanese all throughout our society, and they're advising our own military on how to conduct counter naval ops or whatever. I'm just kind of going off here, but the bottom line is either we'd be still fighting Germans and Japanese today, or either you and I would be speaking German or Japanese. So you know, it's just not feasible to fight wars the way we're fighting them today. So we're trying to get people understand what's going on, and then give them an actionable course to take to get this tide turned around, to get involved in the system, because we've got a civic duty as Americans, not just veterans, not first responders, but once you were born into this country, you have a civic duty and responsibility to be informed and be involved. And you know what happens when we're not? This is what we get. The country we have right now that's in utter turmoil is what we get. It's our own darn fault, John, because for the last couple generations or so, people just kind of said, you know, I kind of like this. I'm just going to kind of hang back and you know, we achieved the American dream. You know, you've always got to be aspiring for better. Well, the problem with this country, I think, is we achieved the American dream. You know, there wasn't that frontier. There wasn't that, you know, you've got to push a little harder and you've got to defeat this enemy. You've got to defeat that enemy. You know, the Soviet Union, quote-unquote, collapsed, you know, and we've defeated the Iraqis. We really didn't have a threat for so long. And now, you know, and of course it's been going on for the last 1,300 years. You've got this huge threat of jihad, and you've got the Bush administration and especially the Obama administration that refused to even talk about jihad. They refused to talk about Islam. I mean, look at the Fort Hood disaster. We were involved in that. And, not directly, but we were, working on that from the information side. You've got policies, actual policies, John, in the Obama and the Bush administration, to be fair, that say that you can't acknowledge jihad. You can't talk about it. So what do we, you know, Nidal Malik Hassan gets up there, this jihadist major, openly jihadist guy in the Army. He's been that way for years, you know, in contact with the American-born cleric Al-Awlaki, who's now been, given his death sentence, basically, by the American government, that, openly jihadist. And he jumps up there, screams, Allahu Akbar, you know, God is great, and then guns down 13 people and a pregnant woman, which makes 14, in a jihadist massacre. But what is the Obama administration put out? An 86-page document going on and on about disgruntled employees and domestic terrorists and all this nonsense, not one utterance of the word jihad, not one utterance of Islam. You know, General Casey, you know, the chief of staff of the Army, talked about, the greatest tragedy would be a loss of our diversity. Give me a break, sir. That's ridiculous. You know, people are dying here, and we're refusing to identify the enemy. It's unacceptable. That is no way to sustain a society, right?
No, it's
so
not. It's really. Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
It's sad to me that it's come to the point where we are no longer fighting wars. We are politicizing wars and conflict, and the politicians run the show. They control the rules of engagement to their whims and how they look at the polls each morning. And oh, we better change this. Oh, we better change that. We fight with kid gloves. I'm firmly convinced, in my own opinion, that if we had gone in full force in Afghanistan right at the beginning and fought a war, that I think Afghanistan would be under control at this point. If we had just gone in with everything we had and just fought it as a war. And, you know, there are going to be some civilian casualties. That's what happens in war. But you fight a war to protect your people. We're sending these guys out into combat with literally one hand tied behind their back. And it's costing us. It's costing us American lives. You were talking about the terrorist attack on Fort Hood, and no one wants to call it a terrorist attack. You know, the mainstream media, the government, everything they come out with, they refuse to admit that this guy was a terrorist. He was a homegrown terrorist. If Timothy McVeigh was a terrorist, then this guy was a terrorist, and that's my opinion on it.
Exactly. And one, you know, the driving points they made is, let's not jump to conclusions. Well, hold on a second. Let's not leap from them either, folks. You know, the plain and simple fact, it's not a religious war on our part. You know, just, I'm not even going to get into the Quran today because we've got so much to cover. You know, the SEALs are the focus here. But the thing is, you know, our saying goes that not all Muslims are jihadists, but all jihadists are Muslim. All right, you take away the focus from Islam. You take away all these apologists' playbooks, the tired old playbooks they play every time, war, religion and peace, war on Muslims, all this absolute nonsense, and just make the focus on jihad. I don't care one whit about Islam. You know, they have religious freedom the same way as I do. And granted, we got an Islamic center just down the street from where I work, and they don't bother anybody. But you know what? Just because they're not jihadist or they don't act on it, you know, it's in there. It's in the Quran. There's over 100 references to jihad, meaning it's a violent, you know, struggle against the infidel. But they don't act on it, you know, just as Christians, they don't act on everything in the Bible. So, you know, it's not about being Islamic, because we could have easily put this thing to rest about, oh, you know, September 11th, about 10 o'clock in the morning, by just turning the whole Middle East into glass. Of course, that's not what we advocate. It's ridiculous, and it's a foolish point to make. But if you take away the focus from Islam and put it on jihad, that's where we need to be. You totally get away from all the political correct nonsense, and you put the focus right where it needs to be. It's not about Malik and Steve down the street who are fine, upstanding gentlemen and help out, you know, when the tornado hit the town. You know, they're not the problem. Just because they so happen to pray to Allah and do all that stuff, I could care less. You know, they've got that freedom, and I've, you know, fought to defend that right. But jihad is not, you don't have a right to do Sharia, you know, the Sharia law and force the kind of nonsense on them, on us, that they do with all the jihad and everything. So that's where we're coming from. And I'll tell you what, one thing, you got to talking about the, you know, total war and fighting it that way. Look what happened in the Gulf War. Iraq's military was the number three military in the world. And we had them whipped by Thursday. You know what I'm saying?
We
can do it. We are the United States of America. You cannot tell me we can't kick these guys, you know what, from one side of the mountains to the other by next month at the latest, if we allowed our military to do what they do. Patton, who I wish that he was still around today or he was reincarnated, cause he believed in that. But he said the war is the use of all the means at hand to inflict the maximum amount of wound, death, and destruction on the enemy in the minimum amount of time. Folks, John, to be quite honest, I mean, show me how we're doing that with this counterinsurgency doctrine. We're not.
No, you know, we're too worried about, hearts and minds.
Yeah, and granted, there's a time for hearts and minds. There's a time for counterinsurgency. But you know what, John? We've been doing this since October of 2001. How many Afghans have died? How many Iraqis have died? And the other places we're involved in the global war on terror, how many of those innocent civilians have died? You know, either it's by us or by the Taliban or Al-Qaeda, which, you know, a huge percentage of it, a vast majority of it is at their own hands. How many of those people would be alive if we fought that war like what George Patton would do, just attack, attack, attack? You know, the rules of engagement give them every opportunity in the world to go into mosques and to use citizens. You know, they've got women and children shuttling ammunition. They hide behind women and children. They exploit, you know, as soon as we say we will not do X, you know what they do, John? Because the Taliban knows our rules of engagement better than you and I do. And what they do is they exploit that to their advantage. We give them advantages when we say we will not do X. And when McChrystal says, you know, look out, here we come. We're coming to Marja. You know, well, we'll be there about 8 o'clock in the evening on Monday. And then we're coming to Kandahar. We'll be there, you know, such and so, you know, so and so forth. All that does is give them the time to prepare and give them the opportunity to hole up in mosques and to get all their people drugged up and ready so they can, die for, die in jihad and all that kind of stuff. It's unacceptable. You don't give the enemy nothing. The only thing you do is you give your troops an overwhelming advantage so you can get out of there, just like what Patton would have done. But, you know, and I'm not turning this into a personal thing against Dan McChrystal and Dave Petraeus, but we need an objectionable and critical look at our war strategies and rules of engagement. And Walter Jones, a representative from Camp Lejeune in North Carolina, is talking about just that. But they're dragging their feet. It's unacceptable. But anyways, yeah. I don't want to get too far off the topic here because
no, this is on
we're
topic.
To help
this,
our,
this has everything to do with it.
Field,
We talked earlier about this Ahmed Hashim Ahmed guy, the Al-Qaeda leader that was captured by the Three Seals. And what he did was straight out of the Al-Qaeda playbook. It is Al-Qaeda 101. You get captured by the American or coalition forces. You know, they're trained to do certain things, claim abuse, claim this, claim that. And it's you know, these are – you're talking about Navy SEALs here. We're talking about some of the highest trained individuals in the world, period. You know, we all know about Navy SEALs, especially ARFCOMers. You know, we know about the military. These are the high speed of the high speed guys. They know what they're doing. They're not going to go in and jeopardize an entire mission and make a mission completely for nothing by going overboard roughing a guy up. If a guy gets a bloody lip, a guy gets a couple bruises being captured by some SEALs, he should consider himself lucky, in my opinion, and that's all that happened to him. That's just my opinion. I was also reading your interview that was posted on the USReport.com. You did that interview, right, with the Navy SEAL officer?
Yes.
And I found it interesting, you know, that he said, you know, the SEALs are tired of having to watch their back, not only from the enemy, but also from their own leadership. That, coming from an active SEAL commander right there, speaks volumes for what our troops are going through in the field, not just the SEALs, but all of our troops. It's, you know, you cannot fight a war like that. And you were speaking about General Patton. You know, I wish there were generals like him around today, but I think the way our current administration is and the way politics are, I think generals like that wouldn't even make it past colonel. They just wouldn't let him.
George Patton would not be promoted past corporal in today's Army. I'm sorry if that offends anybody, but it is true. They don't promote war fighters, and it's not the military's fault. Let's place the blame where it belongs here.
It's the politicians.
The officers, John. It's the United States Congress. They set everything. You can all lines point back to the Congress. So that's where the weak part is. Yeah, and talked about you can actually read. We've got it up at the Victory Institute, a link. Not the safe link. It's to globalsecurity.org because I wouldn't link to an Al-Qaeda organization. But you can actually read the actual documents from Al-Qaeda. It's lesson 18 where it talks about exactly that, you know, fake abuse and claim that you were tortured, claim this stuff, because they know that they're going to have, you know, this sycophantic following. Civil rights are abused. And real quick, let me point something out. If you follow the rules of law, as we're supposed to, we are a signatory to the Geneva Conventions. I think it's a common Article 3 says non-uniformed combatants, such as spies, such as terrorists in this case, anybody who's a combatant that's not wearing a uniform is to be shot on sight. So whenever we capture them, whenever we don't just put a bullet in their head, you know, of course, before you capture them, put a bullet in their head in the battlefield, we've given them rights that are superior to what they're entitled to in the Geneva Conventions. Granted, you know, we do need some of these people for intelligence value, but how we're prosecuting this war is just a darn shame. You know, my SEAL contact said that, like you said, they're tired of watching their back. And let me tell you one thing: the SEALs, the Marines, the soldiers, every person overseas in the theaters that they're in, they can handle the enemy. The enemy is not their concern. Their concern, as it has been basically since World War II, is back home in the United States, you know, government. Because look at Vietnam, John. Let's be honest here. They won every battle on the battlefield, but the battlefield was irrelevant during Vietnam War. They lost the war, even though they brought the North Vietnamese to the peace table in 1973. Yeah. Government pulled. They pulled defeat out of the jaws of victory, and they're doing the same darn thing here. Do they even want us to succeed? I don't know. I literally don't know at this point. When you're more concerned about your own politicians than you are about your own enemies, something is literally wrong, very fundamentally wrong with this country, sir. when we try our heroes instead of honor them. Yeah, when you're trying your hero, these men, these SEALs from SEAL Team 10, they captured this Abed guy. He was armed. They could have shot him right then and there. They captured him without firing a shot. They captured him without hitting, without roughing him up, and they brought him in. And originally, they actually brought him into our intelligence states. They brought him into the Iraqis, and he was in Iraqi custody for a while until they realized that is in fact who they had. And so then they come in and got him. But let me tell you something. If these guys wanted to hurt that guy, trust me, he'd have more than a bloody lip. I mean, I've got friends who are operators. I've got friends who are SEALs. I thank God every day I was born in the United States of America and not in one of these places where I had to face off against the Marines and SEALs and soldiers, because those guys can put a world of hurt if they're allowed to. And they could have, they very well could have during that operation, but they didn't. And let me tell you something. You talk about how high speed these guys are. Let me tell you something else that's just as important, if not more important, is these men have integrity like you wouldn't believe. These three SEALs, they're offered the captain's mast initially, which said that, the commander has got all this evidence and he's going to try you himself basically, because the captain in the Navy is basically his own jury justice and executioner. And they could have basically got off with a slap in the wrist, but they said, no, we didn't do it, sir. So we're, just kind of like in Band of Brothers. This is what I liken to in Band of Brothers, when Captain Sobel, or Lieutenant Sobel, was kind of doing some Mickey Mouse stuff with Dick Winters, and kind of cooked up a scheme where he was supposed to be at KP duty, yeah. And he didn't tell him about it. He said, look, Dick, just take the non-judicial punishment. You don't go out on the base anyways on weekends, and it'll be over. He's like, no, I want to trial by court-martial. And the guy's mouth just dropped wide open. That's exactly what happened in this case. He's more like, no, we're innocent. We're not going to be, we're not going to take the easy road. And they went to the trial by courts martial. And look, if you forget everything else we talk about in this show, remember one thing, John, and that's that the Navy put their best prosecution, their best evidence, their best case forward in the two trials that they had over the last several days with the petty officers Hurtis and Keith, and they lost each time. The jury said that's insufficient. These guys are not guilty. They fully exonerated these men. Why are they still going forward with the trial? It's going to be the same evidence, the same everything. Why are they still going forward at great taxpayer expense? And they're also taking money out of these operators' pockets. And these men don't make a whole lot. And they're also committing all of our attention and resources to this project too. These men never should have faced trial to begin with, and that was our initial operation, was to get the members of the chain of command above the convening authority to say, look, this is ridiculous. Here's the evidence. You guys got nothing. In a professional and calm manner, of course, but you guys have got nothing. Why are these trials still going forward? It's unacceptable.
It's a shame. They should be receiving medals.
I'm not going to name names or anything like that. We had a lot of sympathy from a lot of very high-ranking officials, but there wasn't anything they could do, which means somebody above them said, no, these things will go forward.
I was just saying, these guys should have been receiving commendations and medals, and instead they're getting court-martialed. It's just disgusting. You spoke a little bit about, the money is actually coming out of these guys' pockets. I don't think a lot of people realize that they are having to pay out of their own pocket for their own defense here, and it's just mind-boggling. So I want to remind everybody, and you have the link on your website at victoryinstitute.net, you have the link over to freetheseals.com, the Warrior Defense Fund. I encourage everybody to check that out. They are a 501c3 organization. They're a tax-deductible organization. I encourage all our listeners and all ARFCOMers to step up to the plate and go over and just give what you can give, do what you can do. Check it out. It's www.freetheseals.com, and they're raising money for the defense fund for these guys. These guys have families to take care of. They're petty officers. They're not officers. They're not making some of the bigger money. Yeah, I know even our officers don't make big money, but these guys are enlisted men. They're making enlisted man's pay, and now they're having to come out of their pockets to pay for these outlandish charges, the defense fund, out of their own pocket. It's just disgusting. What's become of how we run our military and how we don't support our troops. It's just, it's infuriating almost. And So we got to do what we can do, ARF Commerce. Let's step up to the plate. Let's give what we can give and help these guys out. Let's talk a little bit about House Resolution 977. You have it on your website there. It's a House resolution which has 77 co-sponsors. It's in committee now, and it's to actually honor these three SEALs for their actions instead of any legal action towards them. Can you talk a little bit about this?
Well, it's just plain and simple. It's just a resolution, like you said, honoring Petty Officers McCabe, Hurtis, and Keefe. It was heroic actions. Like I said, they captured this guy without firing a shot, even though he was armed. And it was a daring nighttime raid back in September. And the fact that these men have gone through what they've gone through, and this has been if anybody knows what a Navy SEAL is and what they go through, it's the worst thing you could possibly imagine times 20. You know, these men go through hell to get into this elite organization. And then for the last few months, this has been tougher than it, you know, from what Hurtis said when he got out of his trial. He said, as tough as my training and experience has been, this has been by far the worst. And the military put these guys through it. It wasn't combat. You got left behind, you know, when your helicopter got shot down and had to fight your way through five countries to get back to safety. We just took the word of a terrorist who's trained to claim that these guys, that he was abused, even though there was no corroborating evidence of any abuse. Conflicting stories. So I think the least that our Congress could do, the absolute utmost least that they could do, is the House Resolution 977, which just states that you know, we're going to honor their heroic actions in their capture. It's about a page, or maybe two, I think. I'm looking at it right now. I think it's two pages. Like you said, there's 77 co-sponsors. What this is doing, and where the action comes in, folks, is this isn't going to be something that a lot of members of Congress are going to be real keen on. You know, they like the stuff they can put their name on, you know, and have your name on this building and this bike path and the Metrolink station or something like that and get some pork to their district or something. Most of them could really care less about this thing. So what we've got going on, as it's sitting in the committee, I think it's a subcommittee on terrorism or something like that. And there's about 50, if I'm not mistaken, about 54 members of Congress who are on this committee. What we're going to try to do is get as much support behind this thing as we can, folks. You say you support the military, you support the SEALs, you got their back. Well, let's prove it. All you got to do is pick up the phone. We got links on the action alert at the Victory Institute. Pick up the phone or even send an email. How much simpler does it get? Saying, you know, we support our SEALs. They should be tried treated as heroes, not tried as criminals. And, you know, I'd like to see, you congressman or senator, I'm sorry, I know it's a bill in the House. We'd like to see you, Congressman, support this bill and support our SEALs and support our warriors. It doesn't get much simpler than that. And we owe it to those guys. You know, the trials have already gone on. They're not going to shut down the trial by Monday. He's going to have to go through it. But, you know, that's the least we can do. We couldn't shut it down. Let's at least get something to support them, you know. And if you can't do that, folks, these men really need their – well, you know, we send them overseas to fight. They do their job. They do it well. They do it, in my opinion, and they're deserving of commendation at the least. And what do we do? Our nation rewards them with a lawsuit that they have to pay for out of their own darn pocket. That is unacceptable. So, you know, like I said, nobody's getting rich off this thing. Nobody's turning this thing around. I believe Captain Larry Bailey, a retired SEAL, is working with Free the SEALs and an honorable man. And, you know, let's work with these guys and get them some of the assistance back. Let's prove that we've got their backs and they don't have to worry about the American people. Matter of fact, we've got a link up at Victory Institute. We've got some Free the SEALs merchandise, some pretty cool apparel that you can get. And the proceeds from that go to the Free the SEALs Legal Defense Fund. So there's many ways you can support these people. But please, I urge you to put your money where your mouth is and let's support these brave men.
Yep, absolutely. We're on with Chris Carter from the Victory Institute. Go to his website, victoryinstitute.net. Check out the action alert for Operation Neptune's Fury. That's what's at the bottom of that under the Take Action paragraph. It's got the bill. It's got the links to email your representatives. It's got the phone number to call your representative. If you can't give money, at least do the very least you can and support this House Resolution 977. Contact your representative and let's get this thing passed. Let's get this thing through. It's not enough just that these guys are found not guilty. That's not enough. They need to be commended for it. The that, no, these guys did nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, they did everything right on this mission. And I think this will, if we can get this House resolution passed, this will show the world, and it'll show our men in the field that, you know, the people of the country have your back. We've got your back, even if the politicians don't. And, you know, we're speaking of politicians and how, you know, the Congress critters in Washington are pretty much the only ones to blame for this. We're going to have Scott Taylor on a little later. He's running for Congress in Virginia's 2nd District. I believe he is a former SEAL himself, and he is the type of guy that we need in office. We need to get some of these guys with their cushy, you know, 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 terms in office. They're so entrenched. They're so ingrained. They're all the same. We need to get these guys out. We need to get fresh blood in there. And more importantly, we need to get blood in there that supports the people, that supports the Constitution, and supports our military. So we will have him. Yeah, we will have him up shortly. I want to thank you for coming on again. I know we changed the show date on you a couple of times, Chris. And when you've got future action alerts, why don't you let me know, and we'll get you on the show just to let the ARFCOM world hear what you guys are working on at Victory Institute, hear the newest things. I'm sure, you know, after Petty Officer McCabe is found not guilty, I'm sure he'll be found not guilty and acquitted. There's going to be more stuff coming up. There's going to be more problems. The way the political climate is in this country, we got the big zero in the White House, a completely incompetent administration, and a Congress full of Democrats that want to shove this socialist agenda down everyone's throat. There's going to be more things come up, and I want to make sure we can get you back on the show, so you can let people know some of this stuff, because you guys do a lot of research over there at the Victory Institute. I was surprised when I went. You've got stuff over there that I haven't seen anywhere else, and I've been studying this. This case of these three SEALs for a little while now.
Well, it's only the tip of the iceberg. You know, like I said, 99% truth is still a lie, so it's a lot of research. And, you know, when we've got such a huge deal of research, that leaves little room for time for websites and things like that. So really, you're only seeing the tip of the iceberg of what we've got going on. It's up and developing. By this time next week, it'll be 100%. You'll see all the things that we're doing, you know, to support our veterans, military members, and first responders here at home. But as you alluded to, you know, just real quick in closing here, we have, you know, literally dozens of men who are going through the same thing. Granted, the SEALs are high profile, you know, they're high speed, everybody likes the SEALs. And, but, I mean, you've got a lot of soldiers and Marines, too. They're going through the same drumhead trials. It's unacceptable. So we're going to move from there, from McCabe, and we pray that he has he's fully exonerated as well. But, you know, we've got a lot of other troops. We've got men sitting in Leavenworth right now that shouldn't be there because of a politically correct administration. Just real quick before I go here, the prosecution I read in a recent AP article said that, you know, basically, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here, you know, evidence aside, you know, we need to make an example of these men for the Iraqi people. And that is unacceptable. We're a society where we have the rule of law. And constitutional rights and everything, and to say we're going to throw these honorable men under the bus. So for the perceptions of people in another country who don't like us anyways, that's unacceptable. It needs to be stopped. This needs to be exposed for what it is, and we need to have a different course of action. So that's what we're trying to do.
Hey, before you go, Chris.
If they're all help, maybe we can. So.
Before you go, I just got an instant message question from one of our ARFCOM members. This is from PJ Hogg. His question is, what are these brave SEALs going to do after they are fully cleared? Will they continue to serve, or have they had it with the military?
Well, the first two SEALs are back in, are headed back to their units now. But the problem with McCabe is, you know, if he's exonerated or not, the man's been exposed. You know, you're an operator, you've got some dangerous stuff you've got to do.
Yeah, you've
got
operational security.
Your picture plastered all over the media, and I think they went back and found Jonathan Keefe, another one of the operators' pictures too. If you got your picture plastered all over the media and everybody knows what you look like, that's going to be in question. I would imagine, I'd venture to guess, it's been alluded to me that he's got a cushy landing spot as a private security contractor, but you know, these men didn't sign up so they could go off and work for, you know, a private contractor. They wanted to be a Navy SEAL, and anything less is unacceptable. I mean, you know, they want to go on and further their careers in the Navy, and we pray that they're able to do that because, it takes about $1 million to train a SEAL, and there's only about 2,500 of them. These men don't grow on trees. And when you treat them this way, that's a real good way to knock all the leaves off. So.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how this will affect, this type of thing will affect, getting people to actually go into the SEALs, getting people to join and try to go through the training and get that tried and put on their uniforms.
Well, would you want to go when you're having to watch your back and basically be a lawyer with a video camera rather than a soldier with a weapon?
No. No, it's just mind-boggling what's going on. It really is. Hey, thanks for coming
on.
Well,
we're going to expose it, and with everybody's help, I know we can turn this around. We'll bring this country back. We'll bring this military back. We'll have a peace through strength again. So thank you very much, John. I appreciate the opportunity.
Hey, thanks a lot for being on the show. Chris Carter from the Victory Institute. We're going to have him on again next time they have a new action alert, and they work hard over there. Check out their website, victoryinstitute.net. They're on Facebook. They've got their Facebook link there right on their front page. They're on Twitter. Check them out, ARFCOMers. They're a great source of information. They get inside interviews. They have a lot of contacts in the military, and they get information that it's not always printed elsewhere in the mainstream media. And we know all about how bad the mainstream media is. Our next guest is going to be candidate Scott Taylor. He's running for the Virginia 2nd District. For the Senate. You want to talk a little bit about him, Joe?
Well, Scott Taylor is a former SEAL, as you alluded to during Chris's interview. He's a very bright, intelligent fellow who's taken the plight of the SEAL trio to heart. He's been out there advocating on their behalf. As Chris alluded to, these operators can't really speak for themselves. So it's either their attorneys, perhaps a spokesperson, concerned citizens like you and I, John, trying to take their cause. Scott has really stepped to the plate. And besides doing all that, he's also running for, as you also mentioned, for Congress in the 2nd District of Virginia. He's a true American. He'll be a major asset to our government. And he wears his patriotism on his sleeve.
Yeah, I'm really interested to hear his take on this. Being a former Navy SEAL and someone running for Congress, he's definitely going to have an interesting take on it. And I want to hear just what his thoughts are about this. I can't imagine being in the military today, being out there on the front lines, and having to worry, about, am I going to get prosecuted for this mission? Do I have to go in there, and am I going to be able to do my job the way I was trained, or am I going to get in trouble for doing my job? It's mind-boggling what's happened. Someone wrote in the discussion thread for tonight's show, it's like the Twilight Zone episodes weren't even as bad as this.
It truly is, and that that poster definitely nailed it. It's something where, be it law enforcement, be it military, be it any type of pressure-orientated position, if you're constantly looking over your shoulder, you can't perform to your top level. And that's exactly what's happening to our members of the military. That's what's happening to members in law enforcement. It's any type of position that has a public trust. And when you're constantly looking over your back or constantly second, third, maybe fourth guessing, or having a training command that doesn't act effectively, it affects everything. But these SEAL trio, these guys did a fantastic job. They took their objective alive. They've definitely treated him with the way and the manner that it was accustomed to when you're taking somebody of his ilk. And it's a tragedy that has befallen them. But we're doing good things now, John. We've got ARFCOM engaged. They're signing the petition. They're going to the sites. If they can afford to give money to the defense fund, they're doing that. There's been a measurable increase in calls to the Congress. And where we always look for, many people don't understand that ARFCOM has, at any given time, between 3,000 to 6,000 active participants on the site. They're active enrolled, be it either subscribed by a paid or a lurker, if you will, or a free member, is somewhere around 200,000. So we're moving to be reckoned with. And we send out a fire mission, we tell them or direct them to do something, they take heed, and they really start hammering the phones, hitting the emails. I've got many phone calls from supporters on this initiative and others that I've run throughout the site. And they are the ones who actually are the doers. I'm very proud of what everybody in ARFCOM is doing. I just want to say thank you thus far.
Yeah, I don't think the ARFCOM Army, as I like to call them, I don't think they understand how powerful they really are. We are very powerful when we all work together. I'm sure people have seen what we've done on some fire missions and different things like that and hitting poles and stuff like that. When the ARFCOM Army gets together, we're all on the same page and we're all moving in the same direction. We are very, very powerful. Someone posted in the discussion thread for tonight that the FreeTheSeals.com website has not been updated in some time. Is it still safe to donate? Yes, it is safe to donate. The guy that manages that site, Larry Bailey, is scheduled to be on the show tonight. He's having some problems, some family problems with one of his family members. He's going to try to still be on. We'll see if we can get him on. But I assure you that site is just fine. Larry Bailey was a captain in the U.S. Navy. He was a SEAL. He was active duty for 27 years. He was a platoon commander. He led deployments to the Caribbean, to Vietnam. He's got a master's degree from East Carolina University. That site is perfectly safe. I don't think people need to worry about donating to that site. Right, Joe?
That's correct, John. I looked and I vetted the sites that we have been posting for the last couple of weeks. Anything associated with Bailey, is 100% on the up and up. The man's a personal hero of mine. He actually led the SEAL team or the UDT team that Jesse Ventura was involved with, and along with a good friend of mine, Earl Kachita. The sites that we have posted are 100% solid. If you get to one that looks a little shady, by all means, folks, do not give to them. Do not solicit them. The ones that we have posted have been vetted, and they're all in the up and up.
Yeah, and I just want to remind everybody that this FreeTheSeals.com site, Larry's site, it is a 501 C3 organization. It's tax deductible. Your contributions are tax deductible. And we know with what Obama's about to do to the tax code, you're going to need all the deductions you can get next year. So this is a great way for you to support the SEALs, to give some money, and then actually have it be deducted off your taxes, which helps soften the blow quite a bit. We are getting Larry on actually right now.
Good.
Looks like we're trying to get Larry online right now to talk a little bit about his website, FreeTheSeals.com, talk a little bit about his service. I hope Chris from the Victory Institute is still listening. I neglected to thank him personally for his service to our country in the Air Force, and I want Chris Carter to know that we do appreciate his service as we appreciate all service members, former and current and future, for their service to our country. Do we have Larry on yet?
Why I wanted Chris on the show.
Do we have Larry on yet? No. Okay. We don't have Larry on yet. He'll be coming on shortly. They are getting him on his cell phone instead of his landline.
The other site I would allude to give John embedded, and you'll see my name on there as well, is supporttheseals.org. And if you go there, you'll see, and if you donate, your name will be placed on the Wall of Honor. And that's been vetted 100%. Neil Puckett, the attorney for Petty Officer McCabe, has assured me that these sites that we have mentioned are also the money that his law firm is getting, the money's coming directly. There's also support sites, Victory Institute. There's PipeHittersUnion.com. If you go there, Justin is... which has a variety of different wearables that you can buy, and a portion of the hoodies, the T-shirts, what have you, goes directly towards the defense fund. You'll see on Justin's site how much money he has given thus far as a result of the hoodies. I bought one, bought hats, T-shirts, what have you, and given them out to everybody. Believe me, I wore this past week at the Blue Ridge Mountain Free Gun event, I wore that support hoodie, and everybody and their brother came up to me and asked me what they can do. So it's something where it's an interactive piece, it's a conversational thing, and if people come up to you, obviously educate them on the plight of the SEAL trio and ask them to engage themselves in the process.
Yeah, you spoke about Justin from Pipe Hitters. He's got a great website over there, and hopefully we'll have him on a little bit later in the show. They've got some really cool gear, and the gear that they've got there if you purchase it, like Joe said, a portion of the proceeds go directly to the SEALs Defense Fund. It's just another way for you to donate. If you don't want to just donate straight money, you want to maybe buy something, wear one of these hoodies. And these are actually really good-looking hoodies and hats they've got. I really like their hats. This is another way for you to support these SEALs. I also want everyone to remember to check out the Victory Institute website. Go to the Operation Neptune's Fury down near the bottom. Read about House Resolution 977. Send a quick email off to your representative. Give them a quick phone call. Let them know you support these SEALs and that what's happening is just an abomination. It's just disgusting. Also,
John, it truly is. And I'm sorry to interrupt, but we also have
ahead.
A lot of our ARFCOMers who are a member of the Tea Party movement or 912, Glenn Beck's 912 movement, or NRA grassroots. When you go to your town hall meetings with your federal representatives, bring it up to him or her. Just bring it up. See where they're standing on this. Where have they signed on to the resolution? Are they? Where are they in the whole scope of this movement? They'll tell you. And if they don't, demand that they do. That's your right. We have a lot of engaged members out there who are either advocating for a particular candidate right now because we're getting into that season, or has joined the Tea Party movement, 912, what have you, and they're making their voices heard. Well, while you're there, ask about the SEAL trio. Ask about the treatment of our military men and women over there. Our military men and women are willing to give up their lives for what we have here in this country. And I can't tell you how many members of the military, when I speak to them on behalf of the NRA, look at me in my eyes and say, listen, we're over there fighting. Just promise me you fight here domestically. So when we come home, the rights that we're fighting for will be ensured. And I can't tell you how much that means to me. When I see these men and women going over there, putting their lives on the line, asking me through whatever I can do, or whatever the NRA can do, or whatever we can, ARFCOM, do, to ensure their rights, because they're willing to give up their life in order to ensure the rights that you and I enjoy. And sometimes we take this for granted, and it's a shame.
Yeah, we're having a little bit of trouble getting hold of Scott. Larry, it looks like, was not going to be able to be on. He's having some problems he needs to take care of. That's fine. I just want everyone to know about his site, Save the Seals, freetheseals.com. That's Larry Bailey's site. Trust me, as Joe said, the site has been fully vetted. It's perfectly fine. We're having a little trouble getting hold of Scott, but we do have Justin from Pipe Hitters on. Justin, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you today, Justin? Thanks a lot for coming on the show.
No problem.
If you would, just to get started here, for our listeners, let's talk a little bit about your background, your service to our country. I know you had quite an interesting job in the military. Let's talk a little bit about that, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Pipe Hitters Union.
Sure. Spent about 11 years in the military total, between the Marine Corps and the Army. I got out in 2000, right before 9/11. And when 9/11 kicked off, I ended up starting to work in the contracting field, and have basically been doing that ever since.
I want to personally thank you for your service. We'd like to thank all our veterans, former and current, and I just want to let you know that we do appreciate you here on ARFCOM. ARFCOMers have a strong tradition of supporting the military, and we just want to thank you for putting your life on the line for our country and our freedoms. Tell us a little bit about Pipe Hitters Union, Justin. How did it get started? Where did the idea come from, and what are you guys all about?
Well, basically, the whole concept started while I was working over in Iraq with several other guys. We came up with the whole idea of having a logo, if you would, that kind of represented all the guys that were from different military backgrounds and now working in the civilian contracting field. So it's kind of a way to carry on the tradition that we started in the military. And so we drew up I drew up the logo. It was the shield with the skull and crossbones on it, basically representing the protection of our way of life and a warning to any of those who would try to do harm to us. And the whole term Pipe Hitters Union kind of comes from your door kickers, your guys that you count on to get the job done. Crack somebody in the head with a pipe if they need to. So, a little bit of humor thrown in there. So that's kind of where it came from. Started off with about 20 hats for the guys that I was working with, and it just started growing from there. Guys started seeing the logo and kept on asking for it, and before you knew it, we were making T-shirts and we're kind of expanding out into another realm here in the near future, if you would, some more tactical items and whatnot. So it's been an interesting road going from doing the stuff that we do into a clothing slash apparel business. But we try to keep it real and keep everything focused on making things that are for the red-blooded Americans out there, if you would.
Yeah, I know you guys are really popular with guys that are in service. So I see a lot of unit pictures and pictures of just guys relaxing in the field, in theater, and a lot of these guys have stuff with Pipe Hitters logos on. I've seen patches. I've seen hats. You guys have really made an impression with the guys that are actually out there in the field right now, and I think that's really cool. You've got a lot of people in your organization, the founders. You guys are really tied into the special operations community. Let's talk a little bit about these SEALs. Just give us your take on it, on what you think. The two SEALs have been acquitted. There's one left. He's the one that's actually accused of striking the prisoner. Let's hear the Pipe Hitter's take on this.
Well, I think our take is probably the take of any person that's served time over in the Middle East and has put their lives on the line for others, which is, bottom line is, these guys are out there doing their job, and they're put through a lot of training, a lot of vetting to make sure they know what they're doing out there. And you know, I think it's a shame that we've got people running around second guessing the decisions that they're making under stress or in a combat situation. And it's an absolute travesty that these guys caught a guy on a wanted list, and you know, they even had to face charges to begin with. And I think it's quite frankly, it's a direct indication of kind of where our country's headed right now with the mindset that's kind of spinning around out there. I think people have lost their minds, to be honest with you. But I didn't mean to get too deep there.
No, that's fine. I like your I'm looking at your Support the SEALs hoodies and T-shirts. I like your little blurb on the bottom. In our opinion, if you kill four Americans, you deserve a lot more than a fat lip. We at Pipe Hitters Union stand behind all those who serve, and we pledge to donate the profits from this item to support the SEAL Defense Fund. You guys have donated quite a bit of money to the SEAL Defense Fund, and I really like these support. I like the Stand Behind Them hoodie the most. I just love that thing. Looks like you guys have donated over $3,000 to date already, and I just want to invite all our listeners, go check out some of this apparel that they have, especially the Save the Seals and Support the Seal stuff. It's really, really good stuff. It's quality apparel. This isn't, you're not getting a junk, you know, Fruit of the Loom t-shirt. You're getting good quality stuff here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. All of our stuff's done on more of the, I guess, the newer style. Tees, a little bit softer, kind of a more athletic fit to it. That's what most of the guys like to wear nowadays. And behind all our products, if anybody has any issues with anything, we'll replace it. No questions asked. It's just the way we do business. And, you know, hopefully we can continue to keep on doing this and raise even more money. That was actually our first donation. We'll have another one that'll be sent out to help cover or defer the cost that these guys have had to shoulder. Hopefully they won't have to dig into their pockets at all. I think anybody who's ever dealt with a legal case knows how that goes and how expensive that can be. So, but anything we can do to help those guys out and help them clear their names and help them get back out there and do what they need to be doing, which is, you know, tracking down bad guys and taking care of business and not dealing with this baloney, then the better we'll all be.
I want to change the subject just a little bit. I was surfing through your website, and I noticed that you have a Team Pipe Hitters Union. You guys support MMA fighters, is that right? Here on ARFCON, we're really into the MMA. There's a lot of people talk about it, especially when there's UFC fights and that coming on. Tell us about your Team PHU and some of the MMA fighters that you guys sponsor.
You know, actually, that's probably a little bit outdated. We did get into some MMA stuff a couple years ago. Through a relationship that we had with Hermes Franca and a couple other guys, we had Brian Stan that we supported. And to be quite honest with you, we've kind of gotten away from it just a little bit, just due to the fact that the UFC is fairly expensive to deal with. They get their hands in the pot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they get their cut on everything. But, you know, we definitely support the combat arts. It's pretty near and dear to most of our hearts. You know, I'm actually a practicing Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy. So I know a lot of guys that train and fight and compete. And actually, we started to get a little bit more into the straight, like jiu-jitsu and things of that nature, where you have guys who are a little more dedicated in some aspects. Not taken away from the MMA side of the sport, but I found, you know, personally in kind of my travels that some of the guys, it's kind of the flavor of the week, you know. Guys watch UFC and they're like, oh, man, I'm going to be a fighter. So they jump in for a week or two, and then they're gone after
right.
so long. But there's a lot of good fighters out there, and you know, bottom line is a lot of those aspects from mixed martial arts, whether it be jiu-jitsu or Thai boxing or, you know, whatever style this is, some of the guys might be following, like Sambo or some of the other fighting arts that are out there. A lot of that just, you know, kind of goes hand-in-hand with the military side of things, since most of the military is kind of using mixed martial arts for their combatives programs. So it's kind of a natural fit for us. It's got that warrior mentality, if you would.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, that's pretty much where it's at right now.
I'm looking here on your dealer's site. You guys actually have quite a few dealers for your clothing line. I did not realize you were that big. You're in really tight with the Navy and a few exchanges around the country, it looks like. Virginia, Florida, California, Hawaii, Gulfport, Mississippi. You guys have really made an impact. What are the futures for Pipe Hitter? What do you guys have coming down the pipe next?
You know, just honestly, keep our heads straight and keep it real. You know, a lot of people worry about companies getting too big and kind of getting maybe big for their britches and selling out and forgetting where their roots are and where they came from. And that's one goal for us, is to never lose sight of that and lose sight of who we are and you know, who supports us, which is all those guys out there getting the job done every day. So I think the one thing that they can rest assured is that, you know, Pipe Hitters Union will never lose the focus of that, and we'll always be there to do things like the things we're doing right now, which is, you know, watch the backs of those guys who are out there watching our backs, because that's where we came from. So in the near future, I would venture to say that you can expect to see, you know, more items of the same quality, if you would, as far as, you know, our take on that whole warrior mindset, you know, just keeping focus on that, trying not to get too affliction-esque, if you would, like maybe some of the other clothing companies, but
right. Yeah,
it's good on them, right? You know, they got competition's good, right?
Yeah, but, it is. We joke a lot here on ARFCOM about, you know, you see the little guys like me, you know, that are 6'2", 135, 140 skinny pounds, walking around with these super tight affliction shirts on, and it's just kind of funny. It really is.
But you'll be seeing that stuff, you know, just more of the same stuff from us. Actually, we got a couple new shirts that are going to be coming out here this next week, which is our Outlaw shirt. It's kind of got a takeoff of, like, the wanted poster for the right-wing extremists. Which I think it'll be a big hit. The reception we've got from it so far from our buyers, the guys at U.S. Cavalry and Navy Exchange, AFES, all those places, they've really, really liked what they've seen so far. And then a Brotherhood shirt, which has got kind of a Crusader theme to it. That'll be out. And then we're also coming out with some more gear, probably a couple of backpacks and things of that nature, just stuff that basically things that guys have asked us for. Guys out in the field will write us, and they'll ask for certain products or say, hey, when are you gonna come out with this? And so that's where we're trying to go with it. Just keep doing what the guys want. That's what the important thing is.
Yeah. Now, you know, to keep the guys happy, you got to keep the girls happy, too. What do you have coming out for women?
Brother, you know, you'd have to ask me about that, wouldn't you? You know,
I just saw the link on your page, and I went to it, but there was nothing there. I was wondering if you guys are still going to pursue that, or if that's a...
No, absolutely, absolutely. You know, more and more, there's more women out there also picking up and taking up the fight. I know that when I was in Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, I saw a lot of women over there doing their part as well. And not only that, but, you know, the wives that have husbands out there, and some of them don't come back, you know, those women are total champions, and, you know, they're near and dear to our hearts too. It's just, you know, I do the majority of the artwork right now. It's myself and Raphael Kion and you know, it's two guys. So usually we end up making things that we start off with a cool idea for women and it turns into a guy's shirt. So unfortunately, we just need to get our mind straight and focus on making the girl stuff. We did make a few girl shirts before and they did really well. So you can definitely expect to see some more women's stuff out there fairly soon.
The website is PipeHittersUnion1.com for all our listeners. Go check it out. Check out some of their products. Especially check out some of the Support the Seals stuff that they have. They've got a hoodie and a T-shirt. Part of the money from the proceeds of the sales of those goes directly to those SEALs. They've already donated over $3,300 to the defense fund for the SEALs to help offset some of the costs that these guys are being forced to incur for simply doing their duty, protecting our freedoms out there, putting their lives on the line. They pulled off a perfect operation. You couldn't have done a more perfect operation than they did, and now they're being prosecuted for it. Petty Officer McCabe's trial is coming up. He's the last one to go on trial for this, and hopefully he will be acquitted, as were the other two. Before I let you go, we have a comment. I don't know if it's for you at Pipefitters Justice, so I'll keep you on while we get the comment from a caller. Rhiannon, no problem. Is that who it is? Rhiannon on line 3? Are you there?
Yes, I'm Rhiannon White. Yeah. I was basically, you know, I work with Support the Seals on Facebook, and I've done a lot of volunteer work and donations, and I've even challenged America that if they couldn't afford something, at least donate a dollar, and, you know, the less of a price of a thank you card and a stamp to donate a dollar. But I've been going across, and I told people about their shirts, and by the way, I'll take one of those shirts, just make it pink. I don't care what it's got on it. And I have watched skins being designed, and $4, Betty Kilbride did $4 of her book sales, and so many have rolled up their sleeves to try to help our Seal Free. And I just basically wanted to tell them, you know, I really appreciate it. I know how hard it is because I've been out there trying to hustle and get donations, and I can really appreciate what you're doing. I just wanted to say thank you.
Rhiannon, you said you worked for which website you were helping to raise money for the SEALs?
The Facebook, and don't ask me to say his name. Half the time I screw it up. Support the Navy SEALs that captured Ahmed, the terrorist. Okay?
Just, Ahmed is fine. We'll just call him Ahmed. We know who he is.
The one that got the boo-boo on his lips.
Yeah, and then he wanted
one.
To,
and
then he waited a while to cry about it. Oh, sorry, I interrupted you there. But I want to thank you for you doing your fundraising. It's I wasn't actually expecting a woman when I took this call, and it's really refreshing to know that it's not only guys out there supporting our troops. There's a lot of women out there doing what they can and working their butts off to get money for these guys. And I want to thank you for that.
Oh well, I've already been paid. I'm paid with my freedom. I appreciate it.
Oh, I love that. That's a great soundbite. Do you mind if I take that?
Oh, that'll be fine,
hon. Yeah, I'm going to take that one from you. Thanks for the call, Rhiannon. Justin from Pipe Hitters Union is on. His website is pipehittersunion1.com. Go check it out. They've got a lot of great gear there. They actually have a bullet-shaped pen that I'm very interested in. That's a really cool product. How did you guys come up with that?
Actually, that's Junior's bullet pen. It's actually made by a guy by the name of Jeff Falkel. His son was killed in Afghanistan, and his son used to make a lot of different products out of spent casings. And the one thing he always wanted to make was a pin. So Jeff kind of took that up after his son passed and said that he was going to make those work. And so he did it. He's been cranking them out by hand pretty much ever since, and he donates a large portion of everything he does with those to the Special Operations Foundation.
Oh, wow. So those are actually handmade, huh?
Yep.
Very yep. cool. They look really cool too. I encourage everyone to go check them out. You got a nice little tactical pen for all you ARFCOMers that like tactical stuff. Get you a nice tactical pen. Justin, thanks a lot for coming on the show. Thanks for everything you guys have done for the SEALs and for the warrior community in general. I look forward to seeing some of the new products that come out, especially this Wanted t-shirt that you guys are coming out with. I'm really looking forward to that.
I'll tell you what, send me your info offline and I'll make sure you get a couple.
Oh, I love it. Maybe I'll even have to give one of them away or a couple of them away here on the show to our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll send you a couple free giveaways for the listeners. And one last thing, if I could, in closing, I just want to thank all those people that are supporting these team guys that have been going through this. Two of them have already been cleared. McCabe, he'll be up next, and you know, hopefully he'll just go on his merry way as well. And I think like we talked about a little bit briefly earlier, you can kind of see the outrage of the American people right now, and I think they're kind of over all the baloney that's going on. So just keep doing what you're doing. Us, the silent majority is out there, and we're about getting fed up with all this nonsense. I think change is coming at hand. A real change is coming for good, probably, right?
I hope so. I hope this November we kick a whole lot of these bums out of office, and I hope the silent majority gets more and more less silent as we get closer to the election. I'd like to just see some of these rallies and tea parties that we get this summer and fall just to be gigantic. It's Justin from Pipe Hitters Union. His website is pipehittersunion1.com. Check it out, everybody. They got a lot of great products. They support the warrior lifestyle and the warrior mentality, and they've done a lot of things to support these three Navy SEALs. All right, we've got Joe back now. Joe, are you there?
I'm here, John, and I just want to take a quick moment to thank Justin for coming on board. He's a true patriot and a good friend, and I appreciate his time on the show.
Absolutely. I think we might have dropped it, but he'll hear your thank you when he clicks back over to listen. Now, I believe we've got Scott Taylor on with us as well. Is that right, Joe?
We do. Scott was at a meet and greet, and he was so kind to come on, break from what he was doing, to make sure he made the show for this very important issue.
Outstanding. Scott, I appreciate you taking some time out from a busy, busy campaign schedule to be on the show.
No problem, guys. How are y'all doing tonight?
We're doing fantastic, Scott. We really are. Let's talk a little bit about your background, Scott. I understand you were a Navy SEAL yourself.
Yes, sir. I was raised on the eastern shore of Maryland by a single mother and left about a month after high school and went right into the Navy with the goal of becoming a SEAL and had the opportunity to go to BUDS right into it, basically, and fortunately didn't get hurt and passed and became the youngest SEAL in the nation at 19 at the time, and just had a wonderful experience in the SEAL teams. And what else would you like to know?
That's amazing. You were 19 when you passed when you passed BUDS.
Yes.
Wow. That when I was 19.
I was 18 in BUDS, and then turned 19 towards the end, and became a SEAL at 19.
Did they do anything special for you on your birthday while you were in training?
That's not something that I wanted to broadcast.
Okay.
My birthday. You don't get like a special birthday party in BUDS.
Oh, no.
Like that,
I know the type of birthday presents
anybody.
They give. Yeah, I know the type of birthday presents they give, and they're not cake and ice cream, that's for sure.
That's not the type of attention that I was looking for at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. Your website is scotttaylorforcongress.com, is that right?
Yes, sir.
It's great to have a former warrior that wants to come in and be a part of the political system now. It's really refreshing to see guys like that because we know you guys are coming from a little different mentality than just your normal run-of-the-mill career politician. What are your stances on the major issues, and what are the major issues that you see right now?
Sure. Let me preface it by saying we have less veterans in Congress than we've ever had in the history of this nation. And I think that's a tragedy, especially because we're in two wars right now. I feel compelled to run for Congress because of the direction that we're heading as a country. We're on an unsustainable path, and you know, we have got to get in there and reduce this deficit. We've got to become energy independent. We've got to be tough on terrorists and label them as enemy combatants and not give them the same rights as you or I. Of course, we have wires crossed where we're trying battlefield heroes like Matthew McCabe and at the same time trying to bring terrorists to our soil and give them the same rights as you or I. you know, I want to get up there and I want to change things. I want to fight for the next generation and not for the next election. And I just think we need more folks up there that are more concerned about this country than themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I agree 100% with you. Talk a little bit about your position and your support for these SEALs. The two of them have been acquitted. Petty Officer McCabe, the last one, is going on trial here in a few days. Hopefully he will be acquitted, but he's the one actually accused of striking the prisoner. Why don't you go ahead and this is an opportunity for you to voice your support for him for the ARFCOM audience.
Absolutely. First of all, I think it's an atrocity that's even taken place. You know, it's a horrible message that it sends to our troops out there who are putting their lives on the line every single day, and the terrorists out there that these guys can accuse SEALs of punching them, and you have three of our most elite warriors in the nation off the battlefield because this guy said he got punched. It's insane. I'm very pleased, of course, where I think most Americans are, that the other two guys, their charges got dropped. That's exactly what we want to see in Matthew McCabe's. Or I'd like them to see him. Just go ahead and get rid of it and not waste our tax dollars on it. I'm with these guys 100%. I've been very fortunate to go to the rallies and been on Fox News and other radio shows voicing support for these guys. And really, I'm just echoing, you know, the feeling in the country. I mean, folks, they think it's ridiculous and they just want it to end.
Yeah, it's just asinine. It's become almost like a sideshow thing, almost like a surreal, like what in the world is really going on here? I can't believe it. Let's talk a little bit more about your campaign. Who are your major opponents?
Well, we have like six folks in the primary. We have a primary race, and it'll be June 8th is when the primary is. Our main opponent is a self-funder, basically, but he's also an Obama donor, and he's a Republican, but he's given $1,000 to Obama and supported other non-Republican issues, and it sucks because he has so much money. We have more individual donations than anybody in the race. We have a tremendous amount of support. We just don't have as much money as he has, but we're just working really hard day and night. In fact, I just took a break from a meet and greet to have the opportunity, and thank you for the opportunity to come and talk on your radio show. And, but things are going very well. You know, we need to raise some more money for our last pitch, you know, for the going into June 8th, but we're just working our butts off.
You've got a Facebook presence, Scott Taylor for Politics on Facebook. I encourage all our listeners to go check it out, become a friend, become one of the people that likes it, get on his list. It looks like you've got already almost 5,000 people. That's very nice. All our listeners in Virginia, especially if you're in the 2nd District, you definitely need to check out ScottTaylorForCongress.com. This guy is just an amazing candidate. He's a former warrior. He supports the warrior, the warriors in the field. He's been there before. What are the polls looking like right now, Scott?
Well, we're polling very high. The last polls were several weeks ago when we were near the top, and I'm sure that we're continuing to gain momentum everywhere we go. We get support, but I can't say it enough. We continue to hire cookie cutter politicians, and we'll continue to get cookie cutter results. And I hope that you guys will help us out there. We definitely appreciate it. I want to say that we have, as a SEAL community, I know that everyone in our community appreciates the outpouring of support from America, basically, in supporting these three guys. And we think it's horrible, and we want it to end, and we don't want anything like this to happen again. And I don't think Americans do either, and we're just really happy. And I know that the three guys truly appreciate you and everybody else out there helping out.
Yeah, we're doing what we can. Let's look down the road here a few months. After you get elected, you're in Congress, you're a sitting member. What are some of the things you think the Congress can do to address the way our troops' hands are tied in the field? We spoke earlier. Chris Carter from the Victory Institute was on the show, and we talked a lot with him about, you know, the way our troops are forced to fight this war with one hand tied behind their back. It's a politician's war, similar to Vietnam. We've gone away from fighting a total war mentality to just going in, kicking the butts of our opponents, killing the enemy, and winning the war. It's become a let's go and fight, but we don't want to ruffle too many feathers. What do you think could be done about that?
Well, first of all, like you said, when you when you go from a counterterrorist to a counterinsurgency mindset, you go in more with kid gloves. And I know that from personal friends who are, I'm constantly seeing folks going off and coming back from war, and they, that's exactly what they say, is that, okay, the rules of engagement have tightened up, and now we have to go in potentially knocking on the door of a terrorist, you know, to be nice and doing the counterinsurgency thing. And you're calling the wrong guys up when you're calling SEALs to do stuff like that. And to be quite honest, it endangers their lives and endangers the lives of their other buddies. I think we need to have congressmen who have backbone, who understand that we have the finest fighting force in the world, and that they're as committed to winning as our brave men and women. And I understand the counterinsurgency operation, which is, of course, the first thing you do is set security, and then you train up the folks. And that's okay if we're doing that, but if you're sending guys and girls out on missions that are really counter-terrorist missions, when you're going in to grab folks and known bad guys, you need to give them the tools, which, of course, being the rules of engagement, they give them the ability to perform the best and potentially save their buddy's life or not get killed themselves. I just think we need congressmen up there, just like Congressman Duncan Hunter out of San Diego, who is a warrior himself and understand the warrior mindset and understand that we're at war right now, and they're stepping out and supporting these guys in any way that they can, and stepping up and supporting them in front of the administration, so that those guys will hopefully do the same thing and support the troops. And this case that we're talking about, it's grown bigger than just that case. It truly is symbolic of how we're dealing with troops right now. And then the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, of course, is symbolic of how this administration is handling terrorists. And I just think it's completely backwards.
It is. It's completely bass-ackwards, as they say. It's surreal. It makes absolutely no sense at all. I was reading on your website where you support the Reagan doctrine of peace through strength, and you were talking about tough border enforcement there. You know, the new law passed in Arizona, the liberal left is up in arms, going through the hysterics of the day. What's your stance on the border?
It's got to be secure. I mean, if you're illegal, you're illegal. We got to enforce the laws that are on the books now. And first and foremost, you have to have a secure border. I spent collectively 2 years in South and Central America. We know we have Muslim extremists down there laundering people and money and using the coyote routes to come into America. A lot of the problems out there, whether it's immigration, whether it's the budget, whether it's terrorists, these aren't political problems. I mean, these are American problems. And we have a lot of illegal aliens are drawing on the education. They're drawing on the financial situation, first and foremost, in the educational system and in the employment system. And, you know, we have to enforce the laws that are there now. We have to use E-Verify. We got to use tougher penalties on folks that hire illegals. And I support programs like the 287G, which gives ICE agents, they train up localities and give them limited power to enforce immigration, because the feds can't do it all, but they need to be funded to be able to reach out and have partners in the localities to enforce immigration. And it's a national security issue. It's not a humanitarian issue right now. It's a national security issue.
Yep, I agree 100%, and that's the way we need to approach it, is through a national security issue. The word illegal alien means, by definition, you are here illegally. I don't understand why we can't wrap our minds around that. There's a big portion of the country that doesn't understand that. It's almost like illegal alien has become a colloquialism for, you know, migrant worker type thing. It's illegal. You're here illegal. I had to come to this country.
Can you blame states like Arizona who say, you know what, you guys at the federal level in Washington, you haven't done anything. You've had weak stances on it. You haven't enforced it. You haven't funded. And we have a big problem here in our state. You're not doing anything about it, so we're going to do something about it. I can't blame them, you know?
Absolutely. I can't blame them at all. You know, they're here illegal. That's the bottom line. We've got to enforce it. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, we are on Radio Free ARFCOM, if I didn't ask you some gun questions. I know you support the Second Amendment. I know you're a big supporter of it. What's your stance on waiting periods?
Be more specific.
On a waiting period to buy a firearm. Do you believe there should be one?
I think you should.
Or do you believe there should not be one?
I don't think there needs to be one.
There, you heard it,
guys. You're talking about, like, private sales at gun shows and stuff like that?
I'm talking about if you go to a gun store and some states, they require you to have a waiting period to buy a firearm. We've had a couple of our Radio Free ARFCOM endorsed candidates on. We had Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, who I'm sure you're well aware of. He's running in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
We had John Wayne Tucker. He's running in Missouri. They're both big, big Second Amendment guys. Some of the ARFCOMers were not pleased with Alan West when he said he supports waiting periods to buy firearms. I just wanted to make sure we got that out of the way with you.
I don't support it. I will oppose any legislation or any legislation that infringes upon Second Amendment rights, period. And from Hunter Safety Course at 11 to Navy SEAL Sniper, I understand what a gun's for. I'm completely supportive of your right to bear arms and everyone's right to bear arms in this country. I know that, you know, Alan West, I think he's a good guy. And, you know, I think he's a patriot and fight for a lot of the same reasons I am. But I don't support that.
It's good to hear, but I know there's a lot of ARFCOMers going, oh, yes, we love that. I don't know how familiar you are with AR15.com. I don't know if you've ever actually been to the site and looked around, have you?
I'd be lying to you if I said I did, but I will tonight.
Check it out. AR15.com. We're the biggest firearms website on the Internet. We've got over 250,000 members. We've got a huge chunk of members from Virginia, and I'm sure there's a big chunk of members from your second district there. One of the things we joke around with each other a lot here on ARFCOM is, are you a 9mm guy or are you a 45 guy? So I have to ask you the question. Are you a 9mm guy or a 45 guy, Scott?
Well, I have a 6-hour P226 9mm.
So 9mm, okay. And a SIG guy, too, nonetheless. Okay, that's not a bad weapon at all. There you heard it, guys. He's a 9mm guy. He supports strong support of the Second Amendment, strong support of borders, and a strong supporter of all things freedom. He's a former Navy SEAL. He's running for Congress in Virginia's 2nd Congressional District. His website is scotttaylorforcongress.com. I encourage everybody to go check it out. He's voiced his support and done everything he could from his position to support these Navy SEALs, Petty Officer McCabe, coming up on his trial here in a few days. Scott, I want to thank you a lot. I know you're really busy. You just came out of a meet and greet. We actually had to recruit Joe to get you on here. Joe does a lot of good work for Radio Free ARFCOM. But I wanted to thank you, Scott, off the top, first and foremost, for your service to our country. And I want to thank you for being willing to put your hat into the ring to go into Congress. I don't think people understand the sacrifices that it takes to actually run a campaign, and I know you've sacrificed a lot of your personal life for the campaign, but it's for the good of our country. We need more candidates like you.
Yeah, my service was a pleasure. Not done yet. Still working at it. If you are in the Norfolk area or even close to it, on Monday we were having a rally starting at 10 a.m. outside NOB for Matthew McCabe for his trial, and then afterwards we're going to Papa's Pub to have a beer with him. So if you can attend, please attend. Thank you guys for all your help, for your support of those guys. I absolutely appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity tonight, and God bless you all.
All right, thanks a lot, Scott. So you're going to have a rally for Petty Officer McCabe on Monday, right?
Yes, we are.
Once again, where is that going to be, just for our listeners who are in Virginia?
That will be outside of the gate of Norfolk, of NOB, of the Norfolk Naval Base, and it'll be starting at 10 a.m.
Okay, there it is, ARFCOMers. If you get a chance, head on down there, support Petty Officer McCabe, get a chance to meet Scott Taylor in person. Will you be meeting people there?
I'll definitely be there, absolutely.
And ARFCOMers will get a chance to come up and shake your hand?
They can come and shake my hand and ask any question they want.
There it is, ARFCOMers. If you're in Virginia, especially in the Norfolk area, that 2nd Congressional District, either way, go meet Scott Taylor on Monday. Tell him you heard about him here on Radio Free ARFCOM and you support his campaign. Thanks a lot, Scott.
Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
Joe, are you still here with us?
I'm still here, John, and if I may take a quick second here.
Please.
Scott Taylor, I wouldn't bring him on the show if it wasn't 100% behind the Second Amendment. I think you know that by now. And I'd like to issue a challenge to our ARFCOMers and our ARFCOM Army. I'm going to give $100 to his campaign. I put out the challenge to beat or exceed that to all our ARFCOM members. If you can't, I understand. If you can, come on, join the support. He's 100% warrior, You say he's a former warrior. I still think he's a current warrior. He's going to be, when he goes to Congress, he's going to fight for all our rights. And he alluded to Duncan Hunter out in California, another great friend. These guys are the future. They are the ones that are going to be on fighting on our behalf. And for him to step aside from his campaign to help the SEAL trio and be out there, readily meet you guys on Monday, if you can make it out to the naval base in Norfolk, he's a special kind of guy. And he's some of the people that we need in those power positions. He's a great asset, and I'm just happy to put out that challenge. If you can do it, guys, I know the economy's tough. Come and meet or exceed what I gave, but keep on going because he's the kind of guy we need.
Yeah, and hopefully as the campaign progresses, we'll get Scott back on to talk about some more issues. I find it just really refreshing, the three candidates we've had on the show so far. They've all been just a completely different breed of politician, and if we can reinfuse Washington with these types of politicians, these types of political minds, I think we can get our country turned back around, headed the right direction. I know on Radio Free ARFCOM, we ask a lot of the ARFCOM Army. We've got causes that we'd like people to donate to. We've got causes we'd like people to send letters and calls to congressmen about. But these are worthy causes, ARFCOMers, ladies and gentlemen of the audience. These are worthy causes. We're not asking you to donate, you know, to something that is just a non-noteworthy issue. It's just kind of let's see what cause we can support this week. No, we think about what causes we're going to support here on RFA long before we put them on the show, and the candidates that we have on will all be ARFCOM type guys. They will all be Second Amendment, pro Second Amendment people. If you get a chance and you can donate to these guys, do it. This is a chance we have to turn our country around if we can get these guys in office, but it costs money to run these campaigns. It costs money for these SEALs to defend themselves. Give what you can. If you can't give money, give support in any way you can. Anything else you want to say, Joe, before we wrap it up?
Oh, sure. And I always say, I mean, I love ARFCOM. I love the people that are on the threads. Because of economy situations and you can't give financially, prayers are always free. And they're welcomed. Keep these guys in your thoughts and your prayers because they need them most. And politicians, to me, is a negative word. Scott Taylor is going to be an elected official. And when he gets there, he will act on our behalf. And it's just a pleasure to meet the young man. He's up and coming, and that makes me proud to know him.
Yeah, he really is. I can tell by the way he talks. He is an up-and-coming politician. It's nice to get some of that young, fresh political blood into the system. We can get him elected. That would be fantastic for us. You spoke with Neil Puckett earlier, and you said he would be available for Monday, Joe?
Yeah, what he apologized profusely. He wanted to attend the show today. Unfortunately, he had a virus, and tomorrow he has to do a summation on some of his defense work for preparation for Monday's opening day of trial. What he's done, he said, Joe, he apologized, and what he will do is give us a first-hand account of what transpired on Monday, the first day of the trial. So we'll have an exclusive of sorts. He's going to come on the show, and he'll spend some good time with you. He's a lieutenant colonel retired from the Marine Corps. We've become quick friends in the last week or two, and he's a straight shooter and a good guy. So I look forward to hearing from him on Monday.
Yeah, he is really a fantastic guy. He's not your run-of-the-mill attorney. You think of lawyer. This guy's not it. Like Joe said, he's a retired lieutenant colonel from the Marines. He's a jarhead to the heart, and he is just a great guy, and I look forward to hearing his report on Monday. So we have another great show lined up for you Monday, guys. We'll be back on Mondays again this week. I had some personal issues I had to take care of. My third child, second son, was born last Saturday, and that's why we had to move the show from Monday to Wednesday. I appreciate everybody's support. I've gotten some support from a lot of ARFCOMers. We really are a big family here at AR15.com. From the Avilas all the way down to the members, the site staff, I'm really proud to be part of this group. AR15.com is just an amazing website, a great bunch of people. We have our differences, and we argue them out in the forums, and that's what it's there for. But when it comes down to it, I know we all have each other's back. And I really appreciate the support that you guys have given me. So thanks a lot to everybody who supported me this week. We'll be on Monday. back at a regularly scheduled time. Our regularly scheduled channel will be back on Station 2, BBS Radio. I want to thank Seth, our engineer, for making the show happen. He's been scrambling behind the scenes, getting all these phone calls made for us. I want to thank Merrill, as always, for posting the links, the pictures, the information about the topics we discuss. I want to thank everybody who came on the show today. Joe, as usual, thanks for being on for the whole show. I know you're not used to spending an entire 2 hours with us, but I appreciate it. Scott Taylor, congressional candidate, Chris Carter from the Victory Institute, Justin from the Pipe Hitters Union. Ladies and gentlemen, ARF Commerce, please go out, support these seals any way you can. We've given you a number of ways to do it. And on the way out, I just want to say, as usual, God bless America.
The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache.